Hashem spoke to Moshe b'Har Sinai, Lamar, Daber, El Bnei Yisrael, V'Yamartlin, Ki Savo, El Ores, Asher Yinasei Lachem, V'Shavas Ores, will come to the land, which I will give you, V'Shavas Ores, the land will rest Shabbos LaHashem. Okay, Rashi says, b'Har Sinai, what's b'Har Sinai? Famous words of Rashi, okay, who doesn't know these words of Rashi? Ma Inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai. What in the world is going on here? Why do we all of a sudden, there's no other mitzvah, where the mitzvah is introduced with the words Har Sinai. All the mitzvahs were given at Har Sinai. Every mitzvah was given at Har Sinai. Why do we go, why are we mentioning over here Har Sinai? What's going on here? Ma'in Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai, v'haloi kol ha-mitzvahs nemru mi-Sinai. Now, wait a minute, that's not so simple to say that. Not every mitzvah was given mi-Sinai, and even if every mitzvah was given mi-Sinai, But when Hashem spoke to Moshe throughout the 40 years in the desert, Hashem didn't review with Moshe every single mitzvah. Let's put this off now. Let's not go on a tangent. Let's just read what it says. Ma'in shnita is Har Sinai. V'alei kol ha-mitzvah is nemru mi-Sinai. Every single mitzvah was given to Moshe mi-Sinai. Ella, the answer is, we're coming here to use this as a source, as a binyan af. For like we say in davening, davar shaya bichlal, something which is part of a general category, the yotza menachlal lelamed, loy lelamed al atzma yotza, ella lelamed al kol haklal kuli yotza. So the haloy ella ma shmita nemru mi bichlal osecho, it's the general rules, the diktu keoch and details, misinai af kulam, every single mitzvah, nemru kilil osehen, the general rules, the diktu kehen misinai. Don't make a mistake and think that the rabbis in later generations, they invented new details. When it comes to this mitzvah, oh, you gotta do it like this, you gotta do it like that. No such thing. A person can make a mistake and think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's say, gave us tefillin. He told us to wear tefillin. No, put on your head whatever you want. Put on your head a remembrance of Hashem. And along came the rabbis in the later generations and they decided, you know what? We want the tefillin to be square. We want them to be black. We want four compartments. We want a hair to come out in between the second and the third. And then they came in the later generation. They made more rules and more rules. They invented new laws. That is sheker v'chozov. That's a lie. Every single last detail about the way we observe the mitzvahs was given to Moshe at Sinai. How do we know that? We learn from Shemitah, because Shemitah is from the few mitzvahs where we have all the details. We have all the details. It says here the details were given by Har Sinai. So too, Ma el Ma Shemitah Nemru Kilo Losecho V'Diktu Kecha Mi Sinai, Af Kulon, every single mitzvah, although you may not find all of the details openly, you may not find every detail in the Torah, case by point is let's say Tefillin, you find almost nothing about tefillin. You find literally zero. So how do you know that the tefillin have to be black, have to be square, where they're supposed to go? It's tradition. It is tradition. It's tradition given halacha le-Moshe mi-Sinai. Hashem told Moshe all of the details and he handed down the details to Klal Yisrael. And in every single mitzvah there are things like this. Every single mitzvah, there are elements of the mitzvah which are not to be found explicitly in the Torah. It is Torah Sheh Baal Peh. It is a tradition. And a person can make a mistake and think that these details were invented by a human being, by the rabbis at some point in time in our long history. No such thing. We're coming over here to make a case in point, because Shemitah, we have here in this week's parasha, every single possible detail. We go into minute details exactly what should be done, what should not be done. And this serves for us as a binyanav with regard to all the other mitzvahs, which we know were given in Sinai, the generalities were given in Sinai, but it's not just the general principles, it's even the small, minute details. Okay, that's what it's over here. Kach shvir b'betaras kohanim. V'nir elisha kach...
Why is Rashi have to add v'nir elisha kain perusha? What is Rashi saying? It appears to me...
Good question.
In Taras kohanim, it's a... That's an unusual expression, literally.
You're right, it is. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Rashi over here, so far you're saying good, you're saying very good. I didn't explain it correctly. Rashi over here is quoting here a statement in a statement from the Toras Kohan. These words of Rashi here is a quote. And now Rashi is coming to support what it says. Venerally, let's see how he says, Shekach Pirushah. He's coming to explain it. In other words, the words that it says in Toras Kohan are a bit vague. Need some clarification. Rashi Kedakwe is coming to explain. Not only does Rashi explain the Chumash, Rashi explains the Gemara. Rashi explains the Toras Kohanim. And he explains what does it mean exactly. The Mishneh Torah. So I didn't explain it to you correctly. Rashi's point over here is we do not find in Mishneh Torah, we don't find any mention of Shemitah in Mishneh Torah. In Mechumash Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu reviews the entire Torah, there's no mention of Shemitah. In Chumash Devarim, there's a mention of other mitzvahs that we don't find elsewhere. For example, we find a divorce is mentioned there. Doesn't that the word concept of divorce does not appear anywhere in the first full Chumash? The concept, what?
Yibum
is not mentioned anywhere. I mean, we have an allusion before Matan Torah with Yehuda and Tamar, but you don't find any halachic Yibum mentioned anywhere in the entire Torah in the four Chumashim. It's first mentioned in Chumash Devarim. And there are many more examples. So therefore, he's coming along to explain that, but we have the opposite. We have mitzvahs that only appear in the first four Chumashim and do not appear in Chumash Devarim. How do we understand that? So he explains, therefore, we have no choice but to say, Shek lo loisecho ufiro toisecho, kulon nemru misina, they were all taught in Sinai, uboha kosiv limit kan al kol dibor shemidbar al moshem shemisinai hoyu. Kulam kilo sehen vidiktu kehen v'chazru v'nishnu, they were repeated by Arvos Moya. Now he's saying over here a lot of things he's throwing out. First of all, he's saying over here a very fascinating principle, which is what is the purpose of Mishneh Torah? This is something that many people love to discuss. What's the purpose? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu feel it necessary to repeat a good chunk of Chamisha Chumash of the Tayag Mitzvos again in Chumash Devarim? Why? So at the beginning of Rashi implies that the primary purpose of Mishneh Torah is to elaborate, is to give you more details, to fill you in on the details. Now that automatically means we have to appreciate that there are two places where Moshe gave the Torah. Moshe gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael at Sinai, Behar Sinai, and Moshe gave the Torah Nochamol in the Arvois of Moav. There are two locations, Sinai and Arvois Moav. What's the purpose of Moshe giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael again in Arvois Moav? So Rashi begins by telling us, because Shlomatzinu Shindas Karkois Shemishnes Be'Arvois Moav Mishneh Torah. Lamanu, that means that, now here's the key point, Shek Loloisecho Ufiro Toisecho Kulon, even the Pratim were already taught Misina, which implies, here's what's key, which implies that the purpose of Moshe Rabbeinu giving Torah in Arvois Moav was to fill in the Pratim. It gives you an entirely new perspective of the purpose of Mishneh Torah. When you come to Chumash Devarim, we're here to fill in the details. And that means, if you have a mitzvah where Moshe did not repeat the details, did not add, embellish detail in Mishneh Torah, then it has to be, all of the details appear here in Parshas Behar, at the end of Chumash Vayikra. Okay, but we just, the statement opens up a world, a whole wide world, to answer a very critical question, why was it necessary for Moshe to repeat the Tayag Mitzvos again in Mishneh Torah? Details, that's the purpose. Then he goes on to say something different, Rashi. Ubo hakos v'limit kan, the Pasuk is coming to teach you, al kol dibor, every single dibor, shenedaber l'moshe, that Hashem told to Moshe, shemisinai hoyu kulon, ki liloi sehen, v'diktu kehen. So that now he's telling us something that almost appears to be contradictory. That when Moshe received all of the mitzvahs, every single one of them, the details of the mitzvah were told to Moshe at Sinai. Now here's the key point. Moshe, he held back. He didn't reveal every little detail at Sinai. He kept in his mind some of the details until 40 years later, until they were in Arvas Mayav, and then 40 years later he told Klal Yisrael what Hashem taught him 40 years ago. And if not for Rashi telling us this, we would be misled to believe that Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu 40 years later in Arvas Mayav and gave Moshe new mitzvahs or new details to the mitzvahs that was not known to the world at the time of Har Sinai. In other words, let's take, for example, let's say, like you said, divorce, gerushin, and yibum, and let's say, eishes yifas toyar, and egla arufa. Okay, egla arufa, what else is there that you only find in Chumash Devarim? You find a whole collection of the laws of war, mi yish hayori v'rach halevav, bikurim. Okay, do we mention bikurim? Well, we do mention bikurim motions, and we do have bikurim before, but not in such detail. But you have vidui. There are so many different things that are mentioned for the very first time in Chumash and Chumash Devar. You, if not for this Rashi, I would think, no, Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah. He gave him the klolos at Har Sinai. And Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu Arvas Mayav and gave him more. So I start off by telling you something that's not necessarily correct, and you would think, rather tefillin, because tefillin doesn't say anything. It doesn't say the protein even anywhere. So you may think that the one whoever made up the laws came the rabbanon made it up later on. Put that aside for now. That even the things that we do have, but that we only have in Chumash Devarim, maybe Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu right before he died in Arvos Mayav and gave him prophecy and revealed to him new mitzvahs, and Moshe then taught us those mitzvahs. Which means that what Hashem gave us at Har Sinai, Hashem himself only gave us the klolos, the klolim, the general principles, but not all the details. And maybe you'll even tell me Hashem didn't give us all the mitzvahs at Har Sinai. Hashem waited until Ma'arvas Maya, before Moshe died, to fill in the gaps. Along comes this Rashi and says that's a bikursus to say that. At Har Sinai, Hashem gave Moshe everything there was to give. Hashem did not appear to Moshe Rabbeinu and Arvos Mayav before he died 40 years later and fill in Moshe. By the way, when it comes to this mitzvah, don't forget to tell them this halacha and this detail and this inyan. Instead, when they came to Arvos Mayav, Moshe Rabbeinu just recalled from memory the details that Hashem provided him at the time of when he went up to Har Sinai. That's the lesson. Everything you're going to read and learn in Chumash Devarim was transmitted to Moshe now at Har Sinai, and Moshe kept it in storage in his mind until the appropriate time to give it out 40 years later. I'm reading the Rashi. Ubaqas of Limitkan, I'll call Dibor, every single Dibor, Shemidaber Lemoshe, that Hashem spoke to Moshe, Shemi Sinai, how you cool on. Hashem told Moshe everything. There was nothing more to teach. Ki le loy sehen, v'diktu kehen, v'chazar v'nishnu, and then v'chazru v'nishnu, they were taught again. They were repeated. Who repeated it? Did Hashem repeat it? It's not really clear what it means, v'chazru. It means only Moshe. I don't know what this means, v'chazru. Did Hashem repeat it? It doesn't seem so. It seems that Moshe repeated it. V'nishnu bi'arvos mayav. But it was already taught, it already was done. How do you know that? Because since that has to be the case with regard to Shemitah, and here it says Bahar Sinai, and Shemitah is not repeated in Chumash Devarim, so that means this is it. Everything that you got, all you got is Bahar Sinai. This is a model for every other mitzvah. It was given 100% at Sinai, and if you go on to find it repeated again with some more details in Chumash Devarim, that's nothing new. It's just Moshe held back until that point in time, but already was given the 100% of Har Sinai. Why is Rashi telling us this? In order to teach a very important principle. Don't look at Torah with different levels. In other words, there's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos that a person should not say that this mitzvah is a very important mitzvah, which you get a lot of reward for, and this mitzvah, you know, it's not so important. You have to do it, it's the Torah mitzvahs, but the reward in the next world or in this world is not all that great. A person does not know the reward of the mitzvahs. No one should make light of any one of the Tariq mitzvahs. They're all 100% equal. They are all the same. Why would a person even be misled to believe there should be different levels of reward, different madrigos in the mitzvah? The answer is very simple. Because being that there are mitzvahs that appear in Chumash Shemois and Chumash Vayikra, when Moshe Rabbeinu was standing at Har Sinai, and he came down to reveal these mitzvahs. And then there are mitzvahs that were given when Moshe Rabbeinu was standing in Arvos Moyav. Location, location, location. Okay, it's like real estate. Mitzvahs that were presented in this location are choshev. Mitzvahs that were presented in this location, no, it's not so choshev. So if we want to have a scale and put, we're going to rate all the Tariag mitzvahs, analyzing, well, this mitzvah was given here, this mitzvah was given here. We'll figure it out. We'll get very creative and study the whole Torah. They traveled 42 journeys in the desert, right? They traveled quite a bit. We'll rate every single mitzvah where we think it was given, and we'll make some type of a system of giving it weight. This Rashi here is coming to teach us a very powerful principle. Every single one of the Tariag mitzvahs was given in one location, at one time and in one location, at Har Sinai. Hashem himself came down, b'chvoido uva'atzman, full glory, the heavens opened up, v'yered Hashem al Har Sinai, he presented the entire Torah, every single detail, the general principles, the minute details at Har Sinai. They all have exactly the same status. How come then it was not revealed until later on? No, it's a kasha. You have a kasha. Why Moshe held back? Moshe didn't tell them everything in one shot. They couldn't handle everything in one shot, so Moshe had to dish it out little by little. But that does not take away from the fact that every single mitzvah gets class A status of being given at Har Sinai, when Hashem himself came down Har Sinai. Don't rate the mitzvahs. Don't say like some of the mitzvahs are like amendments to the Constitution. You have the Constitution. You have the Constitution. The Torah has, let's say 550 mitzvahs. And there's other mitzvahs which get us to number 613. They're like amendments. They're amendments to the Constitution. Oh, it's only an amendment. It's not part of the actual Constitution. Oh, so then, you know, maybe in court we can maneuver. We can wiggle our way out of it and find some loophole why the amendment doesn't apply. In this case, why there's a rule for leniency. Just like when it comes to a derabanan, a mitzvah derabanan, there's always room for leniency. It's not deraisa, so the very fundamental difference. It's a very powerful rashi, very important rashi. All right, let's go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk, it says, I'm going to try to jump. You see, if I have time to prepare, which I usually don't have too much time to prepare, I rather would spend time focusing on only certain words in the Targum. That way we can, you know, there are more significant things in the Targum. So today I appear just a little bit. I want to go to the next pasuk. Da'aber el b'nei Yisrael. By the way, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to a wedding. I have to be there early. So I'm not going to be able to make it tomorrow. So I'm going to ask Rabbi Mayevsky to say the shiur tomorrow. So just stay tuned. Tomorrow's Seder. But let's go for Da'aber el b'nei Yisrael. I'm not going to speak to b'nei Yisrael. Stay to them. Kisvo pasuk beis. Asher ani nosein lachem v'shavus aret Shabbos la'Hashem. Beis. Shabbos la'Hashem. L'shem Hashem. A Shabbos, what's la'Hashem? L'shem Hashem. In honor of Hashem, k'shem sh'nemar b'Shabbos b'Reishis. Now Rashi here says a mouthful. Rashi here says that when it says here the word Shabbos la'Hashem, if Rashi wouldn't comment, we wouldn't be upset. We don't think in our minds that we need Rashi here to comment. Rashi says, no, you need me. Don't think you don't need me. You need me. Especially when there's a Targum Unkelus that doesn't know what he's saying. Chas v'shalom. He says here, Shabbos Lashem, L'shem Hashem. K'shem, just like Shenemar, like it says in Shabbos Bereishis. Now let's make you the judge and tell me if the Targum disagrees with Rashi. Everything that Rashi says, remember, is a comment on Targum Unkelus. That's the name of the game. Pasuk Beis, Targum Unkelus. What does Rashi say? Targum says, "Uvalel Hashem and Moshe b'tura de Sinai, in the mountain of Sinai, lemeimar malel speak in the Israel v'simal and say to them, arei when te'alun you will ascend, la'ara the land that anoy yohev luchon that I will give to you." Now here are the keywords: v'sashmeit ara. The word v'sashmeit means to be released. The land will be released. Shemitisa, a release, a shemitah, shemitisa. The word Shabbos, which the Targum shemitah, a shemitisa, a release, kodam Hashem. Now, before we even go further, when you say the word Shabbos, what does Shabbos mean in our minds? It means to rest. When we have Shabbos Kodesh, Shabbos Bereishis, Shovas Vayinofash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He rested on the seventh day. Isn't that the way we translate it? Hashem rested. And here it says also, it shall be a Shabbos LaHashem, rest. So the way we translate this, and that's Rashi, is that the land shall rest. The land is a living organism. The land has a neshama. The earth, we think that the soil of the earth is a domain. It's rocks and soils. No, the land has a soul, and this soul is a hard-working creature. It produces vegetation. It produces grain harvest. It produces. It needs a break. It needs a vacation. It needs to go to Orlando for Yom Tov. It needs a Shabbos. So Shabbos Lashem, isn't that what Rashi says? It should be l'shem Hashem, in honor of Hashem, k'shem shenemar, just like what it says b'Shabbos Bereishis. Now, as far as I know, b'Shabbos Bereishis, what it says is b'Shabbos, it means Hashem, He rested. What does it mean Hashem rested? I don't know what it means Hashem rested, but it means what it means. Hashem doesn't need a rest, but Hashem finished. And that's a model for man. Man should also rest on Shabbos. Targum doesn't say that. Targum says, you just let go. Letting go is not the same as resting. Letting go means I'm working very hard and I want to work. I'm not in a frame of mind to take a vacation. I have no choice. I'm being told to let go. That, you know, that makes me even more frustrated. Because when a person wants to work very hard, you're looking for a job and you want to let out some steam, you want to work, you want to accomplish, and you're told, that's how they fire people. We're letting you go. Right, isn't that how they fire people today? They say, we're letting you go. They don't want to say, well, you're fired. That's too nasty. That's what Trump likes to do on his television show in the old days. You're fired. We're letting you go. It's an idle way of telling a person, we're not paying you anymore, and you better find yourself some other employment. That's not, Shabbos means I work. The way we refer to Shabbos Kodesh, I'm going on vacation. I can't take this anymore. I need a vacation. I need some rest. It's a whole different word. And indeed, our parish over here explains exactly what I just told you. And he says, V'sashmeit ara shemitza l'shoinois Shabbos v'shabbot at home among the parashikan v'nin shemitah tirgim l'shon shameit. Let go, release. Someone once told me, he went to a doctor, a psychologist, and he was very, very worked up. He told me I should do this. I got free medical advice. Okay? He told me, what did I do? He paid good money, went to a doctor. So what did the doctor do with him? You know, you think, you know, you pay good money, you pay $300 an hour. What is he going to do with you? He gave him a ball. Or I don't know, maybe give. And he told him, you're very frustrated. You have a lot of tightness. People, you're frustrated. You know what you're going to do now? You're going to practice this a half an hour a day. You're going to close your fist and you're going to let go. Let go. All of your bitterness in life, your hate and your complaints, let go. And the way you're going to internalize, you're going to affect your mind to let go of your bitterness and your complaints and your demands is you're gonna do something physical And when you do it enough times, it's going to affect your brain, and you're also going to let you close your fist. And you think about the people that you hate and all the crimes that they've done to you, and that they've been abused, they've tortured you, they stole from you, they embarrassed you, and you open up your hand, let go. I just gave you now $300 of advice. I didn't pay for it either. Hagoynif min haganav patur. My friend, he went to the psychologist. That's what they taught him to do. He probably spent at least $300 for this advice. And they taught him to do it. He sits and he does this the whole day. He opens up his hand. Does it work for him? I don't know if it works for him. Guess what? It doesn't work for me. But at least I didn't pay $300 to get someone to teach you to do that. But that's what Shemitah is. Shemitah is let go. Let go. You want to work the lane. You want to work. Let go. It's very frustrating to let go. On the other hand, if you go on a vacation, you go to the Bahamas. You go to the Caribbean. Now they're opening up the ships again. So you go to the Caribbean. You go on a ship. Mayor is planning to go on a ship. He's going to go all the way to all the way to Erishaw on a cruise ship. Right? So here you have Shabbat. Beloshen Shamik Loshen Akasa Vashvias Tishmeten Vihila Yiloshen Aziva. Aziva means let go. Vihiporeit Hadover Min Hadover. Release. Visudu Mimenu. Go away. Vakavone Kitagi Minus Menuzil. Vrashi Shok. Oritz Tate Me Avoid. That's by Shemitah. Okay, but Aval Hamilim. Now here's the key words. Aval Hamilim Shabbos. Vishabosoin. Hanema, that's an Eitzel Shabbos, by Shabbos Kodesh. In last week's parasha, we learned about Shabbos Kodesh. Eilem Moadei Hashem, Olam Moadim, we saw with Shabbos. Tirgim, this is the proof of the pudding. There, the Targum doesn't say Shamet. The letter Tov, the letter Tess, does not appear in the translation. There's no letter Tess. It's a different word. The Targum translates Shvas, Shivasah, Mibnei, because that word, see, words are always defined based on the context. There's not a language that you can have an Oxford unabridged dictionary of language, because Hebrew is not like other languages. Other languages, there are defined meanings. There is a sequence of letters, and that sequence of letters has a defined meaning. In Lashon HaKodesh, there is no such thing. A word is raw matter. It is just an abstraction. And its definition is subject to its context. It's subject to its neighboring words. And you cannot pin down a word to a defined definition. A word can only be defined in its pasuk. It's a very general, a super duper generality of what the word means, extremely loose, but the word is only defined in its context. So there's no dictionary. You want to know what a word means? There's no dictionary. Find the word in the pasuk and look at the pasuk, look at the big picture, look at the context, look how it all comes together, and that's the definition of the word in that particular location. And that's it. That's the dictionary. The dictionary is the Torah. You can't make a dictionary. And you see the word Shabbos, a great example. When it comes to Maaseh Bereishis, Targum says Shavas, which means to rest. You go on vacation. You take a sigh of relief. Shavasah. He's waxing poetic here. The Ma'at, sorry. He's saying some ideas that, because there it's a general. I don't need to come on to what he's saying over here. And yeah, if you want, you can disagree also. There's not a term in Sinai. And he says it's Malach Kalalis. All right, I don't know why I say that. It doesn't really settle with me those last two words. But the basic idea over here is now. So it comes out now. We come away with something amazing. At least I think it's amazing, and that is. Parash opens up. He's full Aretz. Hashem Yisrochem Nosnochem Veshavs Aretz. The land shall rest. A Shabbos LaHashem. Targum is the ikur. Targum is always your first stop. And so now when you read the Targum, it will be very interesting to see how the article translates it, how this one translates it, how that one translates it. And it says, you'll come to the land, v'sashmei to'aretz. When you come into the land shall be released. Let go. Isn't that amazing? You're coming into the land. Excuse me, I didn't even take possession of it. It took 14 years for the Jewish people to take possession, to conquer and divide. And before you do anything, isn't it? It's amazing how bizarre it is, how the Torah presents this. You know, we've been promised the land. We've been promised the land from the time of Avraham Avinu. Hashem says to Avraham, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, I'm giving it to your land. It's you. I'm giving it to you and your descendants. I'm giving you the land. And here, when it becomes finally practical for the very first time, we come into the land. Asher, ani noisein lochem. Let go.
Let go the first year.
Exactly. What do you mean, let go? I didn't even take it yet. You enter. You
had Shemitah the first year.
They did not have Shemitah. Shemitah first started, the way it first began, it's the Gemara, they first began to calculate Shemitah only after they finished the conquest and the division. For the first 14 years, there was no Shemitah. Shemitah began in year 15. That was the first year of the cycle. Year 21 was the first year there was a Shemitah in the land. They came into the land. For 7 years, they waged wars from the Canaanim. And then it took 7 years to divide the land. That's a big topic of discussion. It should take 5 minutes. How long will it take you to divide the land? 5 minutes. 5 minutes we can divide the land. What took 7 years to divide the land? Obviously, there's something that we're missing. We're missing some information of what it means to divide the land. That's not for now. But whatever it is, it took 7 years to conquer the land from the Canaan. 7 years to divide land. Oh, now we're going to start the cycle. Year 15 is year one of the Shemitah cycle, which means year 21, the 21st year the Jewish people lived in the land, that was the first Shemitah. Okay, so you want us some trivia, not trivia, it was trivia, but how what year was the first year of Shemitah? It was the 21st year they entered into the land, or you could say it was 61 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim.
So how does this term let go come into play?
It's exactly. So that goes to show the depth. It opens up the Targum. I think it's so simple. The Targum many times is infinitely deeper than Rashi. Because exactly, if it means to let go, excuse me, I never had possession. What are you telling me to let go? You come into the land, and the first thing Hashem tells you is let go. The answer is, there's an attitude being presented to you. When you come into the land, you think in your mind, oh, finally, I'm getting what I'm entitled to. The first message is when you come into the land, you are entitled to nothing. Who do you think you are? I gave the land to the others, and the rules of Yerusha, it's going to come down to you. And now finally you walk into the land. The first message Hashem says to Klal Yisrael is, this is not your land. Just because I brought you here and you spilled blood to conquer and fight from the Canaan, doesn't matter. This is not your land. Don't come into the land with an attitude, it's mine. I'm entitled. Go back to the first Rashi in the Torah. The Torah says, why the Torah? The Torah should have started with Achish Zeluchem, Rosh Chodoshim. It says, because the Umma Yisraelim, they say to the Jewish people, you're Ganovim, you're listening. You come into the land, look what you did. You conquered the land. You stole the land. And over here, the Pasuk, where did they get that from? Where did the Umma Yisraelim have the audacity to say to us, you stole our land? They got it from the Torah. Because the Torah over here says, when you come into the land, Ashani Nosil Lachem, Veshava Saharetz, let go. Let the earth be released from your claws, from your, the land shall be released from your possession. Just because you walk into the land and you fight with the Canaan doesn't mean it's yours. Let go. The land shall be released. It shall be a release for Hashem, in honor of Hashem. There's something very deep going on. That the pasuk is speaking to the mind, to the attitude of Klal Yisrael, that they should appreciate that the land is a gift It's not something that you should feel entitled to. It's not something that you should. It's more of a matter of a frame of mind. That's what the Targum says. Rashi doesn't like this. Every comment Rashi makes is directed at one person only. His comments are directed at the Targum. Rashi read this, and Rashi didn't like this. He didn't like how he said Shemitasa with a tes and not a tov, the same way the Targum translated the word Shabbos in Maaseh Bereishis, Shavas, the same way the Targum translated the word, the same way the Targum translated the word Shabbos in, throughout the entire Torah, when it talks about the festival, the Halal, not a festival, but the seventh day of the week. And therefore Rashi very politely is speaking to the Targum and says, Rabbi Targum, I'm sorry to tell you, I disagree with you. You're wrong. It says Shabbos LaHashem. LaHashem means in honor of Hashem. Kishem Shenemar B'Shabbos Bereishis. And you yourself in Shabbos Bereishis translate the word Shabbos as Shivos, with a sof, not with a tes. Rest, not release. There's a major fundamental difference between resting and release. When they say we're going to let you go, it means you're fired. When we say you need a rest, it means we're going to pay for a vacation. You work so hard, we want you to take leave on a paid vacation. The fundamental difference. Are you coming back? That's the main difference. Are you coming back after your rest? Are you being released, or are you going for a rest? Fundamental difference. It's machloikis, Rashi, and Unkelis. What is the nature of Shemitah? Is Shemitah a time when the earth is going to rest, and it's a way of acknowledging that HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns the land, or is it a way of, it's according to the Targum, it's more of a Musar Shmos. Every 7 years, Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, you know, listen, Atem. Hashem says to us, what are you doing here? Who do you think you are? You think you own the land? You think you're entitled? You think, yeah, we're no different than the pilgrims that just come and conquer the land and take possession of the country from the Indians? What do you think this is over here? Let go. Every 7 years, let go and acknowledge that you're only a guest. This is my hotel. You're just a guest here. Rashi says, I don't like that. I don't like that. If Hashem gave us the land, it's our land. You goyim, get lost. Get out of here. This is our land. But every 7 years, the land needs to rest. The land needs to rest. With all of that it entails.
So what happens according to the Targum that we're going to get on the 8th year, it's returned back.
Yeah.
According to his chat, let go. So what happens in the 8th year?
Take it back.
Okay.
Send in
back
your resume. Maybe we'll rehire you. It's not a paid vacation. It's a reconquest. He's saying very good. On the year 8, it's a reacquisition, a reconquest. Go and conquer the land all over again. Take back the land. Obviously, you're not going to be fighting wars again. You're not going to be fighting wars again, but it doesn't have that much of a practical difference between Rashi and the Targum. But in the mind, in your frame of mind, is all the difference. What is a person supposed to be thinking during the year of Shemitah? So the average person will tell you, you know what I'm thinking? The land is a holy land. The land has a neshama. The land needs to rest. It's worked very hard. We don't want to suck out its nutrients and its minerals. It needs to replenish. The land needs to rest. And when it rests, then the workers rest. And when the workers, it's a sabbatical, they can sit in kollel, they can think about life, think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, spirituality, v'chulu. They can do all of these things. They can do all this is what the average. That's beautiful, and it's true. Elu v'elu dirilkim chayim. But the Targum has a much more powerful approach to what you're supposed to be thinking about during the year of Shemitah. Hashem is saying to you, what do you think this is here? You're living here as if you're the balabos. You bought an apartment, you built nice shuls, you built pizza shops, and you have this and you have that, and you walk around and with your nose up in the air that this is our country and everyone should behave themselves and get lost and follow my rules. The Shtargum says, let go. This is not your land either. You're just a guest here. It's a different attitude. It's not about the land as a neshama and this and that. It's behave yourself. You're just a guest in my hotel. It's a fundamental difference. Okay? Rashi is talking to the Targum. He is making a statement. That's what clearly comes out over here. This word, these few words of Rashi, is directed to the Targum, and he's using us. He's talking to us as a way, as a tool to talk to the Targum. I told you this a million times. How many people have the Elif Alfei Avdalos? This Yisoid blew my mind. The first time I heard Rush Limbaugh say this. Rush Limbaugh, wherever he is, have a good time. Wherever he may be now, whatever world he's in now. But he always used to say, how many, Dan Rather, when he would talk back in the day on Channel 2, so how many people were listening to him? Ask the average guy in the street. 10 million people. I think CBS, their ratings were 10 million people. Pretty good. Can you imagine when you say something at 6:30 in the afternoon, there are 10 million people listening to you? That's amazing. I mean, that's mind-boggling. 10 million people are listening to you. So Rush Limbaugh was Mechadesh. He's not talking to 10 million people. He's talking to 5 people. It's an incredible Yisoid. And it's so true. He's talking to Tom Brokaw. Remember him? He's also gone. Tom Brokaw. And he's talking to, I don't know the anchor people. I don't know who his competitors were. There's a Chevra. There's a Chevra. A Chevra. They sit around the Shabbos table. Kiddush, after davening is over, you sit around, they have a kiddush, you sit around the table, you talk. There's a Chevra. They're competing with each other. I hold that this is the most important event in the day. And you hold this the most important event of the day. I'm a Democrat, you're a Republican. I hold this is fraud, this is not. They're talking to, each anger man is talking literally to 5 people, his competitors. They're using 10 million people as a tool, as just fodder, to talk to each other. It's an amazing chiddush, and it's there's a lot, I can't say it's totally true, but there's a lot of truth to it. And I'm now really going wild. I'm telling you that Rashi, who's he talking to? He's talking to one person. He's talking to Unkelus. And he's using us here on Zoom as a tool to talk to Unkelus. Rashi says, Shabbos Lashem, L'shem Hashem, K'shem Shnemar, B'Shabbos Bereishis. Right? So we're learning the Rashi. Rashi's talking to us, using us to say, Unkelus, you're wrong. You want to say it means Shabbos, it means a Shmitzah, it's really a day of rest. Okay, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. Good evening. All the best. Tomorrow I'm not going to be here. Hopefully, Rabbi Mayevsky will give the shir tomorrow. If not, I'll let you know. Zay Gezunt. Have a good night. Good night, Rabbi Lazer. Thank you very much for coming.
Oh, you're not going to be there tonight?
Tomorrow I'm not going to be there. Tomorrow I'm going to a wedding. You want to come with me to a wedding, Mayor?
Oh.
You want to come?
Where?
Borough Park. It's in a small hall. It's, the girl is the...